So let's begin reading in Ezekiel 37, in chapter 37 and verse 1. This is, of course, the Valley of Dry Bones. I'm sure you've all read this many times. It starts by saying this: the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And we will stop there. This passage to me, when I was looking at it this week, I just opened my eyes that this often can be, or this can be looked at as a progression that we go through the problems that we have in our lives. And as we go through problems, this could be a model to see where we're at various times and various situations in our lives. Because it matches our life in many ways. The first stage is what we just read, where God takes Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet in the Old Testament. The word of the Lord would come upon him. He's a very interesting character, a very interesting man. Did many, many interesting things throughout his life. In fact, there was a time, it was actually, I believe, 7 years, where Ezekiel could not speak. He actually was mute. And the only time he could speak was when God gave him a word, and all of a sudden his mouth would be loosed, and then he would be able to speak. Pretty wild. And in this case, Ezekiel is taken by the Lord, and he is put into a valley of bones. And he says there's very many there, and he says they're very dry. And what God made me realize is that often the first step in us coming to a solution to our problems is to actually see what the problem is. We have to see honestly what the problem is, because often when we look at our situations, we look at everything else around us, and sometimes we miss the very issue that is at hand and the very issue that God wants to deal with. And so Ezekiel is taken and he is put in the middle of all these bones. He is put right in the middle. He cannot help but notice what they are. He cannot help but see that they're all around him. He cannot help but see the problem. So God makes him see as he would see, or as he sees. God tells him, this is what I see. This is what I'm viewing. I'm viewing this valley, and it is full of dead bones. They are full of dead bones, they are full of dry bones. And Ezekiel says he not only was set in the middle of them, but then he also had to walk all around them. So God wanted to make sure that he knew what the problem was. He wanted to make sure that he seen that this was the issue. And many times in our lives, as we look at problems, we're so quick to say, well, if this person would just change, and if that person would just change, and if I only had a little more money, and if I only had a little more time, and if I only had a better job, and if I only got that promotion, and if I only did all these things, and if everything else would happen, then things would be so much better for me. And sometimes we just miss the real issue, and sometimes God is just working on us. But we're so quick to look everywhere else that we miss the fact that God is doing something in us. And Ezekiel can't help but see there's a big problem here. There's a big problem here. I can't get around it. He makes it very personal for him by letting him be up close to the problem. And sometimes we're that way too. God brings us in the middle of a very, very dry situation. A very, very hopeless situation. A very difficult situation. And God just puts us right in the middle of it. And then we start to see, this doesn't look good. There doesn't look like there's any hope in this. this. There doesn't look like there's any way out of it. What are we going to do? And God often is the first step. Brings us right to that place. And then we have to, we come to this place where we say, this is just bad. It's very different than seeing things from a distance. Right? We see items on the news or read them in the papers about tragedies that are happening all around the world, but it's very different if you're in the middle of it. Our compassion is stirred until we change the channel. Our compassion is stirred until we get another thought. Our compassion is stirred until the phone rings or we get another text, and then our minds wander off to something else. But here, God puts it in the middle of it, and oftentimes we're put in the middle of issues. Where there's a family member that's going through a problem. There's a family member that's just so against God. There's a family member that just won't amend their ways, the stubbornness, the rebellion, all of the things right in the middle of our path, and we're right there. We can't get away from it. And that's what God does to Ezekiel. Puts him right in the middle of the problem. And we have to be able to see ourselves and see our situation honestly. Because oftentimes we're looking all over the place. And God wants us to see what he wants to do in our lives. Because he's up to an eternal work. He's performing an eternal work if we will just let him. But the first part of letting him is seeing ourselves as we really are. Seeing ourselves as the person that we are. And that's often not a fun thing to see ourselves as we really are. And he looks at them, he looks at all the dry bones, and he says, the extent of the problem is great, because he says there's very many. The problem is huge. Very many. The problem is so big. And then he says, they're very dry. So he sees the seriousness of the issue. So he sees the problem is very big, and it's also very serious. There's very many of them, they're very dry. And that's often the place that God brings us to as well. The problem is big. And the problem is very serious. And we don't know what to do. But God opens our eyes often and says, this is the problem. This is where I put you. This is where you are. You're at this place in your life. And many people are at those kinds of places in their lives, even now. The problem is so big and it's so serious, we don't really know what to do. And then we come to stage two. We come to stage two where it's verse 3. Ezekiel 7, verse 3. And he says this, and he, God, said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And this is the second stage. This is the second stage where God asks this question, can they live? And he just got through looking at all these bones. Oh, they're very dry, and there's so many of them. I've seen it. I know the extent of the problem. I know the seriousness of the problem. And now, God, you're asking me, can they live? And he says, I don't know. I don't know if they can live. I have no idea. I can't make it happen. And that is the place that God wants us to be. Where we realize that we can't do anything about the issue. Where we can't solve things because we're great at fixing things. We're great at bringing together resources, and we're very clever people, and we can make things happen, and we can fix things. We're real good at that. And sometimes all of our ability to fix things and all of our experiences and all of our contacts and everyone that we know and all the problems that we've been through, we just see the problem and we say, well, we can fix it. We see the problem and we say, I know how to do that. I can get around that. I can make this better. I can do this. And in this case,
Ezekiel's brought to a place where he says, I don't know. I don't have an answer to this. I don't have a solution to this problem. He says, I don't know. And it's at this stage of the game where there's a bunch of reactions that could happen in a person. Because remember, this is a model that God has us, and He takes many people through this. And it's at this stage where there's all kinds of reactions. Because when you see the problem is so big and so vast, oftentimes the reaction could be, well, I'm just so frustrated with it. Why couldn't those people do something different? Why couldn't they avoid this problem? Why couldn't they do something else? They're so frustrating to me. You know, there's this temptation to rise up and blame other people and say, well, it's your fault. It's your fault. You got yourself into this mess. That's why you're so dry. That's why you're so dead, because you did this to yourselves. You allowed this to happen. It was your choices. And frustration is one of the things that we have to deal with. And examine your own life. See where you're at. If you can see that there's a problem in someone, some circumstance in your life, where are you at in this continuum of the progression problems? Do you have frustration in your life? Are you frustrated at all? All the problems that you see? Is there hopelessness? Because Ezekiel could have very easily developed a hopelessness in him and said, there's no way that this problem couldn't get better. There's no way. And some of us go through that as well. This problem has been with me so long, and it's been around me so long, and that person has been this way for so long. He's over 40 years old, and he's been thinking this way and acting this way and making bad choices all of his life. How are things going to change? Can't change. Hopelessness could set it. God wants us to realize that that is not, and is not the way that He wants us to be. And sometimes we could just quit and say, it's not worth it. Who can fix this? I have done everything I can. I've been there for year after year after year. I've tried to change. I've done all in my power. Every idea that I've had, and I've tried, and nothing works, and now I'm just done. I'm quitting. It's not worth it for me anymore. It's not worth the aggravation. It's not worth the frustration. I'm done. We could very easily be overwhelmed by the situation. If anything was overwhelming, the question that God asks them is, can they live? And it comes right on the heels of, look around, Ezekiel, look around, walk around, see it. See the extent of the problem. See the seriousness of the problem. What can anything be done about it? I don't know. Many of us are tempted to just turn around and say, well, we can go somewhere else. We're very good at ignoring things as well. We're very good at just turning the other way when there's problems that are too big for us. We're very good at making ourselves comfortable when things are not that good. We find a way to adjust ourselves so that we can live with the situation. If any of you have ever had back pain or something along those lines, you know that if you sit down, it might be too difficult to sit, and so you adjust yourselves. And even though the pain is there, you would keep adjusting until, okay, I can live with it now. And this is the temptation. Temptation is to just say, okay, I'll learn to cope. I'll learn to live with it. I'll learn to adjust. I'll reset my expectations to something a little lower, but at least I won't have this weight on my mind all the time.
So he says, can they live? Can they live? And in the middle of all this, the correct response is to turn to God. You can have all the worldly reactions. You can have all those reactions. But the correct response is turn to God. And so Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. He's saying, I don't know myself. But you're the one who knows. You're the one who knows. You're the one who has the answers. I don't have the answers, God. You're the one who has the answers. And in the middle of all of that, sometimes we use that Christian term, which is we develop a burden. What that term? We develop a burden for the issue. And sometimes there's a reality of it where it becomes so heavy and you just have to, the only way to lighten the load that you feel is to take it to God in prayer. And I believe that this is part of what God is doing in Ezekiel's life. And it's part of what he does in our lives. Where he takes us to a place where we see that we can't do anything. And we have to go to God. And in the middle of that, the only way to lighten the load is to pray about it, is to give it to the Lord in prayer and worship. And that's what Ezekiel is doing. Lord, you know. Only you do. I can't know. And this is the third stage, where we realize we can't do anything, but God can. We can't do anything about our issues. There are some issues that we seem to be good at. We seem to get around them. But then there are other issues that we can't get around. And for those, God is waiting for us. He's waiting for us in the small things and the big things. We just seem to go to him for many of the large things. And we say, God, we'll take care of the small ones. God wants us to go to him for small and for literal because he tells us in his word we can do nothing without him. But you say, well, I can do a lot of things. But really, really, as you get older, I'm not even that old and I already realize this. I'm not even that old and I already realize health is just something that can be snatched away in an instant. Abilities can be snatched away in an instant. When you're young, you don't realize this. Thank God you're healthy. As you get older, you realize all of this is very, very fragile. And you come to understand more and more the part of the Bible which says, where Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. It's not a fun realization, I will say that. But the reality is, without the grace of God on our lives, and he gives grace to those who love him and to those who don't love him, he's just an amazing God that way. He's just an incredible God that way. He says, all right, he knows that people don't love him, they don't want to serve him, they don't want to live for him, but he says, I'll give you grace anyway. That's our God. He's an incredible, incredible God, full of love, full of mercy. And some people, as they look at their problem, as they look at their situation, as they look at their family members, they wonder, can they live? And the only thing that they can do is turn it over to God. And say, Lord, you know. You know if they can live. Because I don't have any answers. I don't have any solutions. And this is the place. This is the place where God can begin to work in our lives, where he can begin to do supernatural things, where he can begin to change the situation around through his power. Not through our power, not through our mind, not through our ideas, not through our ability to fix things, but through his. And he finally comes to that place where Ezekiel says, Lord, only you know. And in verse number 4 of that same chapter, 37:4, it says this, again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So we come to this place, we see the problem, we know we can't fix it, we bring it to God and say, only you can fix it, and then it's at this place that God does something amazing. He says, okay, I'm going to give you what to do to fix it. He said, I'm going to use you to fix the problem. I'm going to use you to do something about it. Where you've tried all the other ideas, where nothing else works, now I'm going to tell you the secret to get the thing done. And he says, now you're ready. Now you're able to overcome. Now you're able to see the dry bones live. And so he says, you prophesy. You do something. It's not going to be just him. It's going to be you and him. It's going to be, this is the way God works. He cooperates with people that are willing. He enables us who are willing to be part of the solution to work with him. We often want God to do everything. We often want God to just like snap his fingers, send down a lightning bolt, change the situation, part the Red Sea. We want God to do all those things, and God is often waiting for us. We're waiting for God many times, and God is waiting for us. We're waiting for God to do the miraculous all by himself, and God is waiting for us to be a participant in the miraculous. So he tells them, you prophesy. You do something. You state, I'll empower you, but you do it. And many of us get uncomfortable at this place as well. We say, well, we don't want anything to do with it. What if we're wrong? What if we're not supposed to? What if they react wrong? What if they do this? What if nothing happens? And because we're afraid and because we're intimidated, we often do nothing. And so because we do nothing, often God does nothing as well. If Ezekiel didn't prophesy, there would be no coming together of all the bones and the muscle fibers and everything in the creation. It seems like the dry bones went from being very, very dry, and now all of a sudden they're coming together and they're looking more and more like people. But it's because Ezekiel cooperated with God. Where is it in your issue that you're supposed to cooperate with God? Where is it that you're supposed to be involved? Where is it that even though it looks very, very dry and you can't do too much about it, what is it that God might want you to do? You might not need the solution, but God knows how to provide it to you. God knows how to get it into your mind. God knows how to open the door. God knows how to get through to you. If you're just willing. If you're just willing and you come to him, I don't know, God, you know, what can I do? And that's the next stage. What can we do? In the next stage, verse number 8, it says, verse number 9, and he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. The next step, after God begins to work, is realize the first part, God says, I'm going to make them into something, and I'm going to put breath in them. But then he makes them into something, but there's no breath. He puts them together at the command or at the prophecy of Ezekiel, but there's still no breath in them, even though God said, I'm going to put breath in them. But he brings them together, and then there's no breath. And very often, when God begins to work, our ability to to adapt to the situation, our ability to become comfortable with things that are a little better, we stop there. We stop there. We say, that's good enough. I'm good. I don't need anything better. Things have changed a little bit, so I'm going to stop. Things have changed a little bit. The fight is often very hard. The fight is often very long. The amount of faith that I have to have is often draining. The amount of prayer that I have to pray is often tiring. The weight on my mind is difficult. So I've seen something change, and I'm so happy about it, I'm going to just stop right there. And Ezekiel could have done that. When the bones came together and the muscle all came together and they looked like people. They weren't alive yet, but they looked like people. Ezekiel could have said, well, I'm good. They're not very dry anymore. They look okay. Things look a little better. So why do I have to keep pressing? Why do I have to keep going? Why should I? The price is often very high, and you know that. You've been there. You've been there where things seem to change and the temptation is, okay, I'm going to let it go. I'm good. At least he's being a little better. At least it's a little more bearable. At least I'm not going home all depressed every day. At least I have enough money to get by. At least I have what it takes to survive. And God is saying, I've just begun. But the thing is that now the strategy changes and we have to find another word. And oftentimes we get stuck in the rut of this is what I was commanded to do, so I'm just going to do that. We'll continue to do that. But God has an interactive relationship with us and he wants to keep talking to us and he wants to keep telling us what to do and he wants to keep us being part of the solution. And he says, I'm not done. You have more to prophesy. There's more. And many of us will stop at this place. And God tells him, no, it's not time yet. You have to prophesy for the breath. You have to tell the breath to come. You have to tell the breath to enter into them. And so he prophesies again. The strategy changes. And many of us don't like when the strategy changes. Many of us like the same thing all the time. This is what I should be doing. I don't like when the strategy changes. I don't like when everything changes. I don't like to get another word. I have a word. I'm all right. And look, even something good has happened. And amen for the good things that happen, but God still wants to do more oftentimes. And we, if we don't cooperate with God, we will be left with yesterday's work. Everything came together. It looks pretty good, but it's not what God wants. It's not the best that God has for us, but we can put a stop to it by not cooperating with him. And then he goes to verse number 10, which says this, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. This is what God intended all along. This is what God had. This was what God envisioned. When he seen the dry bones, God knew that he wanted an army to come out of it. When he seen that there were very many, and they were very dry, and it looked hopeless, this is what God envisioned. God envisioned them coming together. He envisioned them being a great army. Now Ezekiel, he couldn't imagine it. He was like, I have no idea. And God had in his mind, there's going to be an army. they're going to be an exceeding great army. But it's not going to take just one word. It's not going to take just one action. It's going to take an action and maybe another action and maybe another one until it becomes the great army. And maybe we're at that place where we just want to quit, where we say the problem's too big. Maybe we're at that place where we see and that, okay, it's good enough right now. I don't want to do any more. Maybe we're at that place where we're just overwhelmed by the situation. I can't do anything. And God wants to take us through this and show us His power, show us His ability, not our abilities. We know our abilities. We know our lack of abilities. Do we know what God's abilities are? Because He says He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We need to know more of God's ability. And to know more of God's ability, we have to reach the end of our abilities. To know more of what God can do, we have to come to the end of what we can do. And that's where we begin to trust in Him. And that's where we begin to get our daily bread from Him. Remember, Jesus said, man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, not that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth, continually proceeding out of the mouth of God. That means we're supposed to hear from God what to do for each situation in our lives. So He says, prophesy to them one more time. And then He sees the end result. The army. It comes together. It stands. It's a great army. And God wants to do these kinds of miraculous things in our lives as well. He wants to change situations around that look hopeless. Because what looked like it was totally and completely useless, He made into something wonderful. The valley was full of bone. The valley was all dry. The valley was totally unusable, and now they have a purpose. Where before they had no purpose, now they have a purpose. Where before they were unusable, no one would have wanted them. And oftentimes, God makes you see that no one wants this. This is totally useless, totally, totally not worth the effort. And God sees the situation in a completely different light. He says, they're worth it. They're worth it. And I can do something with them. But you prophesy to them. You don't quit. You don't give up on them. You don't view as the world views. See with my eyes. See with my eyes. Hear with my ears. Prophesy with my strength. Pray with my strength. Do with my grace. And then you will see the power of God at work. Then you will see the power of God bringing situations to a close, bringing answers, bringing resolutions that we had not thought of. This is the way God works. This is the miraculous ways of God. He can take problems that look like they're insurmountable and turn them around in a moment. It occurs to me, something happened to me at my job within the last month. There was a situation, I had no idea how to deal with it, absolutely none. It was way out of my league, but I was the only one that was working on it. And I just they asked me, how long is it going to take? I said, probably a couple weeks of my time. I have no idea how to do this. And then all of a sudden, because I know I'm out of my league. I know I'm at that place where it's like, okay, God, only you know. Not me. I can't figure it out. I have no idea. And all of a sudden, I'm working on this one issue, and I'm going through, and it's about a half a day into it, and I'm still, you know, just struggling, grasping at straws, and all of a sudden, I have one conversation with a guy who doesn't even work with me anymore, and a light goes on in my mind. Jesus. And as incredible as it seems, I work with computers all day. I work with GUIs. Those of you who know what computers are, there's a graphical user interface. I bring up this GUI. I click on one little box. I check one little box, and I'm like, I bet this will work. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks worth of estimation goes down.
It's done.
One little piece of information I thought was insurmountable, God gave wisdom when I was at the place that I have no idea. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks' work went down to 5 minutes, and it was done. I still am amazed. I still am amazed that it works. But it works.
Jesus. Jesus. This is the kind of thing that he will do. It's a simple little example, but what an example for me.
What an example of what he can do in our lives when we just say, I'm at the end of my resources. I'm at the end of my intelligence. I'm at the end of my ideas. And then God just steps in. And so a solution comes from a person that is no longer even working with me.
Because that's the way God does things. He can make an exceeding great army out of the valley of dry bones. Where are you at in this process? Where is your mind? Where is your attitude? Where are you and what is your next step?
God's laying it out for us. Trust him for the next step. Trust him for the answer. Trust him for the results. Because he's big enough to deliver. He's big enough to amaze. He's big enough to do miraculous things in our lives. He's done them. You've all seen them. You've all seen miraculous things.
God is not done with us. God is just beginning with us.
Regardless of how old you are, God wants to still work in your life, still do the impossible things. This is our God. This is what he does. In his name we praise.